been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, after breaking the 50-day moving average on Friday, the NASDAQ is rebounding here today. Right now, we've got the NASDAQ is up, let's see, I think it's 179 points, something like that. Where is it? There it is, up 230 points. That puts it back above 11,000 for now, 11,084. The S&P 500 is up 53 this morning. That's 1.6%. Big day for the S&P 500. You've got some merger news. You've got the vaccine trial for AstraZeneca back on. And you've got, might have a solution to the TikTok problem, which has been ticking for quite some time now. Over at the Dow is up 325 points. That's 1.2%. That puts the Dow almost at 28,000 again, 27,990. The Russell 2K small caps up 1.8% this morning. Crude oil down 13 cents, $37.20 per barrel. Big day for gold. I haven't looked at the gold stocks yet, but the commodity gold is up $20.10 this morning to $1,968. Silver up 48 cents, $27.33. Let's check in on the bond market. 0.66, very quiet, very sleepy over there at the bond market today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We had an interesting end to the week of trading last week. The NASDAQ especially, the NASDAQ last week had its worst week since March. And, of course, we all know what happened in March. That was the big plunge in the market. The NASDAQ fell 4.1% last week. And it also closed on Friday below its 50-day moving average for the first time since April 14th. Now, that doesn't mean the NASDAQ is headed into a bear market or a 30% plunge, but I do think it's a warning shot across the bow, and I do think it's cause for concern to see that breakdown. But the app still has the NASDAQ ranked. Let's see. Let me just check. I want to say it's a buy. It was a strong buy last week, which is the highest ranking for an index. Actually, the NASDAQ has dropped to a weak buy. Weak buy, okay? So it has softened up quite a bit. I think that work-from-home business was due for some profit-taking. I think when those stocks traded up on their stock splits, meaning Apple and Tesla, I think that was a bit of a warning sign. And I think just as this election gets closer, I think you're going to continue to see some risk come off of the table. If you're going to take risk off the table, it's not going to be in big blue-chip stocks that have basically just been slogging along here. When risk comes off the table, it comes off in the riskiest areas of the business, right? That is the biotech, stocks that have had big run-ups, stocks that are trading at nosebleed-type multiples. And you saw some of that last week. We shall see where the NASDAQ goes this week. But for now, we're off to a big start. Apple has also been very soft recently. Apple was down 7.4% last week. And Apple is now down 16.4% from its recent high. And in fact, it was almost down 20% at one point in time, which is bear market territory for a stock. But it has been bouncing back here recently. Also, Netflix was a huge loser last week. It was down 6.6%. That's a lot more than the NASDAQ. Netflix today, a little tiny bounce higher, 1.3%. Netflix has a lot of controversy swirling around it right now. And you've got a technical event in the market with that violation of the 50-day moving average by the NASDAQ for the first time since April 14th. So you know what? We take it one stock at a time. I'm about 75 to 80% invested in the market. I have raised a little bit of cash recently. I've taken a few high flyers off the table with big profits in them. And I have a few hedges going on right now. Okay, well, we're looking for a good, strong start to the week. Here's what's doing it so far. You've got AstraZeneca with their vaccine trial cranking up again. And it appears that this TikTok situation has been resolved with Oracle moving in, beating out Microsoft for that position in TikTok. You've also got Gilead Sciences making a buy here of Immunomedics. That's a stock I used to own. It's a biotech out of San Diego that had a pretty rich pipeline for cancer drugs. Well, it was rich enough of a pipeline for Gilead to step in, buy the company, $21 billion. NVIDIA is also making a purchase here. NVIDIA stock is having a good day here, as they are ARM Holdings, which is a semiconductor equipment company that was owned by SoftBank. So there's a lot of good news. It's all good news here as we start a new week. Now, we'll see how the week progresses, but we are bouncing out of kind of an oversold condition last week, and we'll see if it can maintain. We've also got the Fed meeting this week. That's always fun. And, of course, you get Jerome Powell doing his press conference. And we'll see where that all goes. But let's just say I don't think they're going to raise interest rates this week. But there may be some more updates on their inflation watch, which they've definitely backed down from being such inflation hawks as they have been in the past. Now, I don't know if they'll bring this up at the Fed meeting, but the U.S. government deficit tops $3 trillion year to date. Yeah, year to date. Now, the government's on an October fiscal year, so their fiscal year will end in 6 weeks. But they're on track for the biggest deficit of all time. And, of course, a lot of money went to that COVID, you know, PPP. It was all good and dandy, but it was money that had to be borrowed or printed to give to those people. And, of course, all of the extensions of the unemployment benefits, money going to the airlines, on and on and on. About $2.5 trillion is what COVID has cost in the way of incentive, in the way of bailout packages, etc. And we're now $3 trillion added onto the $22 trillion that we already had in debt. No wonder gold's up $30 per ounce today. Global markets kind of mixed. Japan up 0.7%. They've got a new prime minister over there in Japan. Hong Kong is up 0.6%. I haven't seen any riots lately in Hong Kong. They seem to have come to the U.S. China's up 0.6%. Europe pretty flat. Europe does like, however, the vaccine news from UK-based AstraZeneca as they resume trials. They had one person, didn't die, but came down with an unknown illness. That brings the trials to a halt. Now they're back up again. And, of course, you've got Pfizer saying in an interview on Sunday that the company expects to know by October, the end of October, if its COVID-19 vaccine candidate will work. And if approved, it could be distributed to the U.S. by year end. So, you know what? That's a spate of good news here this morning to start a new week. The only bad news there was that $3.5 trillion deficit, but we'll just kick the can down the road on that. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll kick the can when we come back. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We've got the Dow right now up 387. The NASDAQ is up 200, or the S&P is up 58 right now. That's 1.8%. The NASDAQ's up 249 right now. It's up 2.3%. Okay, there's a lot going on really to start a new week. You got a new prime minister in Japan, Yoshida Suga, Shinzo Abe's right-hand man for nearly 8 years, has been elected president of Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party. So he will be the new prime minister. Look for Abenomics to continue because he was right there next to Abe all throughout. Abenomics. Asia Pacific indices in green on vaccine hopes. Oh, they're hoping. Japan has a little uncertainty taken out of the way, and you've also got the vaccine hopes now, which would be big, obviously, for Asia, Southeast Asia. And you might have a finally a solution to the TikTok deal, which has been ticking for quite some time. Israel approves a three-week lockdown. Wow. You know, that's one of the few countries out there that's going back on lockdown. I do follow the news out of Israel. Jerusalem Post is one of the newspapers I read on a regular basis, along with newspapers from all over the world to stay on top of world events. Israel approves three-week lockdown as a second wave hits. Infections have surged ninefold and deaths have quadrupled since late May, while nearly one-fifth of the labor force remains out of work, even though most of the economy has been open for months. Well, let's see. Oracle's getting a big bump here this morning. They apparently are the winner. In the TikTok deal, Oracle is up 6.3% this morning, 6.3%. The loser in the deal is Microsoft, and Microsoft, however, is having a good day. It's up 2.3%. Walmart was also in the action for TikTok, but obviously not winning out. They're up 1.3%. The Nikola story. Boy, did that thing explode out of nowhere last week. I mean, everything seemed to be going just fine for Nikola, Trevor Milton's company, who wants to be the next Elon Musk. You know, he named his company Nikola, which was Tesla's first name, obviously. He wants to compete in that space. He's attracted a lot of huge, huge investors. But the latest investor, and probably the biggest win of him all along the way, was GM. Well, these short sellers You know, these short sellers are looking out there, lurking out there, and they are looking for candidates that might have a dicey story, a CEO with a checkered past, or maybe technology that doesn't quite live up to what's being said about the technology. It's all I can say is right now we really don't know where the truth lies. You can read, which I did, Hindenburg's report. He's a short seller. Hindenburg Research. He wrote a scathing research report on Nikola, which claims to have breakthrough technology not only in fuel cells, water, but also with their electric batteries. And, of course, he's going after the truck market. He's been looking for someone to partner with in developing this further and actually producing the cars and the trucks, and GM ended up being the suitor. And then along comes, just about a week later, along comes this scathing. You should read it. I mean, stuff like towing the truck up to the top of a hill and then rolling it down the hill and filming it like it was... like it was, the technology was working. Now, this is the short seller saying this kind of stuff and covering pieces of the thing with bought off-the-shelf parts that were covered up with masking tape. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. The stock got slammed last week, did Nikola. And there was even a lot of comparisons between Nikola and Theranos, which also made quite a splash with what they said was breakthrough technology in the blood testing arena, where one little drop of blood, you could run all kinds of tests on just a little drop of, well, it turned out not to be true. Okay, and I think the people at Theranos are going to end up in prison. Well, Nikola is being painted with that same brush. Now, a pretty respected guy has come forward to defend Nikola. That's Dan Ives, who's also a big Tesla and Apple research analyst over at Wedbush. Nikola is defended by Wedbush. They say it has a massive opportunity in the balance. So where does the truth lie? I would just say this. There was enough in that Hindenburg report to cause me pause about what's going on over there at Nikola. I think I want to see something a little more tangible before I invest. I sold my Nikola last week. I did not like what I was reading. Just, I thought, erring on the side of caution there. Now, Nikola right now is up. Nikola is up, now it's down, but it's only down 1.3%. Okay, Nikola was $93 a share, and now it's $32 a share. So it's had quite a big sell-off since all the hype back in early June. GM, on the other hand, that would be the biggest con job of all time if GM got conned by this guy, Trevor Milton. GM is up 2.8%, so there seems to be a little bit of a rebound there, but where the truth is still out there somewhere. Work from home stocks look to rebound. Well, let's look at WFH. I mean, this has been one of the hottest sectors in the market. It's been one of the leading sectors in the NASDAQ. It's up 2% today. I'm not going to get too excited about Twilio and Peloton and Zoom Technology and CrowdStrike, etc. Man, those stocks are just trading at nosebleed type valuations. Well, when we come back, we've got some mergers taking place, and one on a stock that I own. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back to half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Our Dow up 350, not giving back any ground here at 28,016. NASDAQ up 239, so it's holding in right about where it was a half an hour ago. No movement one way or the other. Holding on to gains. Okay, what else do we have going on here? Well, we've got a deal, a couple of deals. Gilead Science, G-I-L-D, the maker of Remdesivir, is buying Immunomedics, I-M-M-U, which is a San Diego biotech. I used to own it, but it was flat for a long, long time. Wow, what a huge, huge premium. Oh, my goodness. This stock is up 100% today. You know, Gilead must see something there. The stock was trading at a dollar in 2016. It was $3 in 2017. It's being bought out for $85 per share. That's double from where it closed on Friday. How did we miss this one, huh? $21 billion, I-M-M-U. That's all I can say. You know, I looked at in my app. It does look like there was unusual activity in the stock. 1 month ago, the stock in the app was ranked 2,233. Last Friday, it was ranked number 367. So it moved up a lot in rank before it was taken out by Gilead Sciences. You know, you'll usually see that. You'll usually see unusual activity. Somehow this one got by me, and I didn't notice that unusual activity taking place. And here you've got a stock that is doubling today. Wow, what a deal that is. Okay, and then on the other hand, you've got NVIDIA in a $40 billion deal. Okay, you got a $20 billion deal and a $40 billion deal. That's pretty good. NVIDIA confirms $40 billion deal for Arm Holdings. No, it's not a gun maker. It is a semiconductor. In fact, I remember owning that stock many years ago before it was bought out by SoftBank. It is a company kind of like Applied Materials or ASM Lithography out of the Netherlands. It's a semiconductor capital equipment company. SoftBank, let's see how it's reacting to this news. SoftBank is SoftBank's up 10%. That's a pretty big move for SoftBank, 10%. And on the other hand, you have NVIDIA. Usually when a company buys another stock, another company, the stock goes down, the buyer does, but not this time. The analyst must think this will be accretive to NVIDIA's earnings. NVIDIA is up 7% this morning. That's good news. We own NVIDIA, believe it or not, in our dividend and growth portfolio. Our dividend and growth portfolio, because it does pay a dividend, and it has exhibited some enormous growth over the years. NVIDIA has been growing by 38% per year. That's their earnings over the last 5 years. That's per year. And NVIDIA is expected to grow their earnings by 57% this year and 20% next year, and it qualifies for the dividend portfolio. Oh, I'm sure you can find a much fatter dividend out there. You can find the 5, 6, 7% dividend yields, but try to find growth that goes along with that. That's non-existent, that combination. There's going to be a big IPO this week. We're going to keep our eye on this. It's going to be Wednesday. I've owned ServiceNow. It's on my wall of fame here at Gunderson Capital Management. It's one of the biggest winners of all time that we found using the app to find it early on. Now is that symbol, but the common link here between now, ServiceNow, and the company going public on Wednesday, the symbol will be SNOW, SNOW, the name of the company, Snowflake, common roots, common person that started the company. SNOW is set to go public on Wednesday, September the 16th. The company provides SQL data warehouse and breaks down its data warehousing architecture into storage, virtual warehouse, and cloud services. And I see that there is so much demand. It didn't hurt that Warren Buffett announced that he's in on the deal, buying IPO shares. So whatever price it comes public at, it's priced at, it won't open at that IPO price. It will open at a much higher price than that. Buffett will make money more than likely right out of the gate on the stock. And then, of course, it will settle. Who are competitors to Snowflake? Amazon's AWS. Okay, so these are massive data storage servers. Microsoft, Google Cloud. Those are the major industry performers. Snowflake's cloud data platform also operates on those public clouds, primarily on AWS. So we'll see where this all ends up, but that's probably one of the more interesting IPOs of the year here, 2020. What about New Jersey? Okay, they want to tax all of the trades, all of the high-frequency trades. A group of the biggest U.S. stock exchanges and major market movers are joining the New York Stock Exchange and threatening to move their operations out of New Jersey if the state imposes a tax on high-frequency stock trading. Well, that's been the plan announced many times by Bernie Sanders. A transaction tax on all trades. This New Jersey one's trying to just kind of crack the door a little bit by imposing a tax on high frequency stock trading. Earlier this week, Wall Street Journal reported that Intercontinental Exchange ICE planned a week-long test to prove that the firm could run its electronic systems outside of New Jersey, if they had to. The newly formed coalition to prevent the taxing of retirement savings includes such firms as the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, Citadel Securities, Virtue Financial. The group said it would run a test on September 26 to ensure that the industry is prepared to move out of New Jersey should it pass the test. Should the tax pass? Other members of the coalition, UBS, the Chicago Board of Exchange, and Ameritrade. Okay, so we'll see how that goes. Another big sports club, fitness center, filing for bankruptcy. This time it's the New York Sports Clubs, symbol club, Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Of course, you also had a Gold's Gym earlier this year back in May filing for bankruptcy. And in June, you had 24-Hour Fitness filing for bankruptcy. In the meantime, Peloton stock continues to ratchet higher. In fact, Peloton is claiming they'll have 100 million users at some point down the road. So indoor gymnasiums, a breeding ground, not a good place when there's a pandemic. They have really been at the forefront, along with restaurants, sporting events, music venues, any place where people gather in close proximity to one another. In the meantime, Amazon, they're on the other side of the street. They're hiring 100,000 full and part-time employees across the U.S. and Canada to help pack, ship, or sort orders, making it the e-commerce behemoth, that's a land monster's, fourth hiring spree this year. How's Amazon doing? Amazon did break its 50-day moving average on Friday along with the NASDAQ. And as of right now, it is still trading just barely below, having a very anemic move here today as Amazon, up just 1.8%. We'll be back with our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio. Are Dow about the same. NASDAQ about the same, up 219. Dow up 363 to start a new week after kind of a rough week, really. And not ending on a good note at all, especially with the NASDAQ. So this is encouraging to see this, but we'll see how the week progresses. It's a very good day for gold and the gold stocks, and I'm going to feature what I consider to be one of the cheapest, the most undervalued gold stocks in the market. In fact, it's so deep, or so cheap and so undervalued that I own it in my emerging growth portfolio. It's a $12 billion company. Now, let's take a look at the valuation. That's where I want to start. In a market that's trading at pretty rich levels from a valuation point of view, the forward PE of the S&P is right now, it went down last week actually to 21.5. It got up to a little over 23 a few weeks ago. The average PE of the NASDAQ was 51. I haven't looked at it. I got to do my update on it here today, see where the average PE is. But it was at 51. And the average forward PE of the NASDAQ was 34. That was about a week ago. I'll update it here today. But here you've got a stock that's got a forward PE of just 10. Okay, just 10. While the S&P is 21.5. And the NASDAQ is about 34. This one's 10 times forward earnings. I don't know what the forward growth rate should be. The analysts have the average analyst estimate is 100% growth per year for the next 5 years. I don't buy that. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, let's cut that in one-fourth. It's still a very inexpensive stock when you look at the forward PE ratio. So it definitely has the potential to double over the next 5 years. A lot of ifs, ands, whats, buts in there, but we'll see. The name of the stock is Gold Fields. The symbol is GFI. Gold Fields, GFI, is a South African company engaged in the exploration, extraction of gold in South Africa, Ghana, Australia, and Peru. Well, it's diversified. That pretty much covers the four corners of the world, doesn't it? Gold Fields is currently trading at $14 per share. Gold Fields is having a monster day today. It's up 9.6%. That's a very, very nice breakout on that stock. And I continue to own Gold Fields GFI in my emerging growth portfolio. Now, with that move today, that puts it at $14.12. I bought this stock back on May 14th of this year. It's now up 69%. Not bad. Since I bought it, and I have featured it before on the show. Where is it ranked right now in the Best Stocks Now app? Well, The Best Stocks Now database has grown to 5,350 stocks. I continue to add. I probably got another 100 to add that I'm a little bit behind on. But every day I'm adding new stocks, IPOs especially, new IPOs. There's been a lot of them lately. To the database, so you're up to 5,350 stocks in the beststocksnow.com database. Gold Fields is ranked number 43 right now, number 43 out of 5,350. I think my target price is double from where it is now with no guarantees, and it's also been a very strong performer. It has the momentum side of the equation. In fact, its momentum grade is A+ right now, one of the strongest stocks in the entire market. Its performance grade is A+ right now. I had a guy call me last week. I own a gold stock in the Ultra Growth portfolio, too. Ah, he says, I don't want to own any gold stocks. Okay, it's up to you. Why do you hire me to manage your money, pal? But I do like the gold stocks right now. But as any other, just like every other sector, you know, I like the best stocks in that sector. So we'll make GFI our featured stock of the day. Okay, well, we're looking forward to a real busy week here at Gunderson Capital. We have been really busy this year. I think we've probably had more new people come to us this year. Well, you know, I mean, it's like that every year, but I would say this year probably a record year, close to it for people finding us, whether it's through the app, the radio show, the articles that we write. Oh, by the way, we have a brand new article out there on Seeking Alpha. That stock is doing well. That would have been my second choice as the featured stock of the day. What stock is that? Well, you can go to Seeking Alpha and look at our latest article out there on Seeking Alpha. We continue to be ranked in the top 2-3%. Of all the people writing articles, based on performance, and when it comes to all the professionals in my industry, we're in the top 4 or 5% as it relates to the performance of these stocks that we write about and that we mention, that we have, you know, on the record, that's on the line. So we're very proud of that. In the line of 100 people, we're about number 4 with 96 people behind us. That's a very good place to be. We're always striving to be number 1. If you'd like to put us to work for you, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. We've got a little bit of uncertainty coming up in the coming weeks and months. I don't think it's a time to be passive, I think. I'm happy being in a very active kind of role here and not having my hands tied and being unconstrained to go where I need to go in the market no matter what is thrown at us. 855-611-BEST. Hey, check out last week's newsletter. I put my heart and soul into that thing with a lot of predictions of what's ahead. Gunderson Capital. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.